Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Are you facing circumstances and questions that are simply overwhelming to your very soul? Well, friend, when you turn your eyes from those circumstances to Jesus Christ, the perspective changes dramatically. Stay with us next on Daily in the Word as we consider Christ with Pastor Paul Chappell. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I don't know how this broadcast comes to you in terms of what circumstances or what questions you may be facing. Perhaps you're facing despair or sorrow. Perhaps you're facing tragedy or overwhelming situations. Perhaps you're looking at a wall of questions and you don't know how you're going to get through or how will you make it another day. Well, friend, today we want you to consider Jesus Christ, because He is not only the answer to your soul's deepest questions, He is the only one who will sustain you and strengthen you by His grace through whatever you're facing today. And so, in the next few moments and for the next few broadcasts, we will consider Christ. Be sure to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a wealth of resources at our website that will encourage you in your spiritual growth and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, our Bibles are open to Luke chapter 7 as we consider His forgiveness. Here's Paul Chappell.
We see it throughout the Bible that someone whose heart is truly touched has a desire to help. We see it throughout the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul as he was brought in and given hospitality. And here in this woman's life, she took the alabaster box and she said, I want to honor the Lord Jesus with this. Her sacrifice was made evident by her gift. And then we see it with her attitude. We see this woman had an attitude that was very much an attitude of demonstrated sacrifice. The Bible says she was weeping. The Bible teaches us that this woman's heart was very tender and very soft. And we do not know exactly what brought about this emotion. Perhaps it was just being in the presence of God in the flesh. Perhaps it was just recognizing what His grace was all about. We do know that just shortly before this particular event, Jesus had given a sermon or a talk. And in that talk, Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 said something that is very interesting, and I put it into your notes. And I believe this woman heard these words. And as we study the synoptic gospels or the harmonious gospels, we begin to see the sequence in the life and ministry of Jesus. We know that right before He went to Simon's house, He said the words in Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now I can imagine as Jesus spoke those words and perhaps a large crowd had gathered, I can imagine this woman being there. I see her in my mind in the back of the crowd. Nobody wanted to be around a sinner. I can imagine in my mind some of the ladies in the crowd giving an evil eye to this woman. I can imagine the rabbis as they walk by doing everything they could to stay away from her. And yet somewhere in the back, behind the crowd, perhaps looking around a rock, she heard this man speak. This was the one John the Baptist said was the Lamb of God. This was the one who had been performing miracles throughout Galilee. And she heard Him as He stood and as He said, take my yoke upon you. And as He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And He began to give promises. And I can imagine in her heart, she had such a burden with sin. And she felt like such an outcast. And she felt as though she could hardly walk through her own town for the burdens she carried. But Jesus said, I'll lift your burden. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Maybe that's why she cried when she put the ointment on Jesus' feet, knowing that this was the one who could lift her burden. What a sacrificial act she made that day. But I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, a sarcastic assessment. You see, God looks on the heart. We know that God was pleased with her heart. But sometimes men look on the outward, and sometimes in a very judgmental way. And we see the Lord Jesus as he is in the house, but we also see the Pharisee, Simon, who had invited him in verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man," and please notice this phrase, "if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Now notice, if you would, the sarcastic assessment made toward the Savior. Here we see the attitude of the world today. Here we see the attitude of the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches. We see the attitude of so many world religions today. We see the attitude of Oprah Winfrey with her New Age Bible study. And so many today who will not say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way to heaven. They will say that he's maybe a prophet, maybe he's one of the gods, but they will not give credence to the fact that he is God in the flesh. They will not do that. That's the attitude of this Pharisee. He said, if he were a prophet. In other words, he's not even going to elevate Jesus to the status of prophet, much less King of Kings. And we see a sarcastic attitude toward the Savior. You see, the Pharisees always tried to find fault with Jesus. They spent their lives doing this. In Luke 15 and verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." You see, Jesus didn't hide why he came. The Bible says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said, the whole need not a physician. It is the sick that need a physician. Jesus Christ made no apology for going to the common man, the common sinner, and preaching the glorious gospel that he brought. He made no apology for that. But it seems like every time he tried to help someone who was less fortunate or less popular, he would be criticized for it. And I say to you this morning, may we be careful of having the attitude of the Pharisee. Sometimes I've heard people criticize bringing people in by way of bus ministry, or sometimes being critical of those that visit a church. May I just remind you this morning that there are going to be people coming to the house of God. They've never been to a church before. They don't know where the book of Ephesians is. They don't understand so much about the grace of God. And the last thing they need is a sarcastic Pharisee looking down their nose at them. You see, they need to sense the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. You see, and yet the Pharisees had a sarcastic attitude towards Jesus and towards this woman. Reminds me of Satan in the Garden of Eden, who, looking at Eve, came to her in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 and said, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" You see, the devil has done his very best since the beginning of time to question the Word of God, to question the deity of Jesus Christ. And here we see them having a tremendously sarcastic attitude towards the Savior. And then, as I mentioned, notice secondly, toward the woman. Now, we know she was a sinner, but the Pharisee never sees the hope that Jesus Christ brings. The Pharisee never has the grace-filled vision to sense what could be in someone's life, you see. Grace always has a vision of hope, and grace always has the hope for change. But the Pharisee sees only what's happening right now. James chapter 2 admonishes us not to have the same spirit. James 2:2. "If there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, and or sit under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" God says, look, if someone comes in and they have some things and they're dressed nicely, fine, be glad they're there. But if someone comes in and they're less fortunate, be just as glad they're there, you see. The ground is level at the cross. And for 22 years, we have done our very best not to just go to some neighborhoods in the Antelope Valley, but to go to every neighborhood in the Antelope Valley with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody matters to God, you see. And yet in their sarcasm, they did not see that. They did not see the potential. Oh, the Pharisees did not understand the power of the grace of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And so we see this sacrificial act by this woman, but we see the sarcastic assessment that is made by the Pharisees. Notice, if you would, finally with me this morning, a spiritual answer. No doubt Jesus observed all of this. Obviously, he observed the woman washing his feet. Now he hears those who are questioning his deity and who are sarcastically assessing what the woman had done. And so he gives a spiritual answer. And he does it in the form of a parable. Remember I said we're studying the parables this summer. Notice the parable as it begins in verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Now just stop and listen to that for a moment and think about that. This is the one who created heaven and earth. This is the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the one who has all power over the universe, and he says, Simon, I want to say something to you. You know, they used to say when E.F. Hutton talks, people what? Hey, when Jesus talks, don't you think we ought to listen?
Amen.
He said, Simon, I want to talk to you. The Bible says in verse number 41, as Jesus gives the parable, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Now notice, if you will, the parable announced. Jesus says, Simon, I want to show you the difference between your hard heart and the soft, penitent heart of this woman. You look great outwardly, Simon, but I see something in her heart, and I want you to see the comparison with me. And he gives a parable. And the parable has three simple thoughts. First, we see the debt of finance, the financial debt that was existing in the parable. Now, all of us can relate to that. If you're not in some debt, you hear about debt every single day. You hear about the mortgage crisis. You hear about the Dow Jones Industrial being down. You hear about inflation being up. We hear about all the economic indicators, and many of which are directly related to the kinds of debt that many people got into because of the loans and the subprime crises. We understand a little bit about debt. And I trust that through this time, we'll pray for those struggling in that period of life called debt. But I want you to notice something, what the Bible says here in verse number 41. The Bible says there was a certain creditor, one and had two debtors, and one had 500 pence and the other 50 pence that were owing. A pence, or a denarii, as it's called elsewhere in the scripture, was about a day's wage. So one man had 50 days' wages of debt. One man had 500 days' wages of debt. And the Bible says, frankly, in verse 42, that the creditor forgave them both. By the way, wouldn't that be a miracle if some forgiveness like that were to happen? Just forgave them both. Now, the fact of the matter is that whenever forgiveness happens, it's by grace, isn't it? The fact is that there was a gift of forgiveness that was given. And then notice the debt of love. Jesus asks a question. The Bible says, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Jesus says, now, Mr. Pharisee, you don't even know that you need forgiveness. This woman knows that she needs forgiveness. She has about 500 denarii worth of sin. She knows she's a sinner. And if she's forgiven, do you imagine that she might love the one that forgave her? And of course, he says, yes, she will. And I want to tell you something, friend. The reason that we're in church this morning, the reason we gave an offering a moment ago, and the reason we ought to speak of Jesus this week, and the reason we serve the Lord Jesus should not be out of some kind of legalistic bondage that I have to do this in order to gain the acceptance of God or to gain the acceptance of the church. I have to do this for my husband. I have to do this for my wife. When you can get to the place in your life where you realize that you and I were just like that woman, lost in sin and deserving to spend eternity in hell, and that Jesus Christ loved us and forgave us, it changes everything around. And you don't go to church because you have to. You go to church because you want to.
Amen.
You see, Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth me. For we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He said, the thing that keeps me going is the fact that God would love me that much. And my friend, God did love you that much. And Jesus died on the cross for your sin. And so we see a tremendous parable teaching us the fact that we have been forgiven by the grace of God. But notice now the parable applied. How do we apply that truth to our own lives? You see the parable announced, but the parable applied. And I want you to see it very quickly. Number one, we apply this parable when we realize that forgiveness is given to the repentant. Forgiveness is always given to the repentant. Please see this. Jesus did not forgive the woman just because she had the most sin. He forgave the woman because she had the most repentance. Oh, she needed forgiveness. But you cannot forgive someone until they acknowledge their need for forgiveness. Verse 44 tells us, "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, which was customary. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, which was also customary. But this woman, since the time I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven." You see, Simon the Pharisee had shown no humility. He had shown no repentance, but this woman had shown great humility and great repentance. Simon had been like those Pharisees in Luke chapter 18 who stood up and prayed, "I thank God that I am not as other men are, who said I fast twice a week and I give tithes and I do this and I do that." Simon was one who had little humility. The woman had great humility. 1 John 2:12, "I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." You see, the fact is that forgiveness is given to the repentant. But notice secondly, forgiveness is given by the Son of God. Now this is the theological crux of this passage. How does someone find forgiveness? By hanging around church? By washing someone's feet? What's the moral of this story? How can someone pass from death to life? How can they know that they are heaven bound? What must take place in order to have that assurance in one's heart? Now notice this, if you will, in verse 49. "And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" Now that's the greatest question in life. Who is Jesus Christ? Because if Jesus Christ indeed can and does forgive sins, then my friends, he is indeed the Son of God. That's why this baffled these Pharisees and these who were there at the table. Because if Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," he wasn't just a common man. He wasn't just another prophet. He must be then who John the Baptist said he was, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So divine forgiveness is one of the attributes of deity. Yes, we understand preexistence to be an attribute of deity, and we understand being all-knowing is an attribute of deity. We understand omnipresence, but we also see in this text that the forgiveness of sins is something that is only offered by God. And my friend, Jesus Christ, because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God, is not the Son of Man, but he is indeed the Son of God. And that truth may be denied by many, many religions today, but it is the bedrock of our faith as Christians today. And we stand here in this church today to declare Jesus Christ, the Son of God, alone can take away the sins of the world. Amen. There is none other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved, the Bible says. Now then, Matthew 9 and verse 2. "And behold, they brought to him a sick man, sick of the palsy, lying in bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth." In other words, if you don't understand who Jesus is, then that is blasphemy. But if you know that he is the Son of God, it is not blasphemous at all. Jesus Christ came after he had resurrected from the dead, and he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. 1,500 people saw the resurrected Christ. Thomas came to Jesus, and Thomas was wondering about who Jesus was, and finally he became convinced, this indeed is Jesus Christ. And he looked at Jesus and he said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus didn't say, "Thomas, don't call me God." He allowed him to ascribe that title to him because he is God, you see. And so when they ask the question, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" it just takes a cursory reading. It just takes a moment of faith to recognize the one who forgives sins is the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing about it. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ," you see. He's the Son of God. Divine forgiveness is an attribute of his deity. Divine forgiveness is based on the merit of his shed blood. The reason that Jesus Christ can forgive sins is because he paid the price for our sins. I was getting on an airplane many years ago and getting ready to go to the Orient. And during that particular period of time, as we were heading over there to preach in a conference for some pastors and Christian workers, there was a scare happening in the Orient, an outbreak. Some of you might remember it. It was called SARS. And it was related to the fowl, and there had come some kind of epidemic into parts of China, and they were concerned it would spread throughout Asia. And everybody had it on their mind. In fact, most people on the plane had on these little white masks. And I was thinking, I probably ought to have a mask on. And the guy behind me kept coughing all the way to China, and I thought, he probably has it, and I'm going to get it. It was just a paranoid type of a flight. And I got the newspaper out, and I was reading through the newspaper, and everything on the paper was about SARS. But I remember one article on the right-hand corner that I was drawn to, and this is what it said, and I quote, "Roman Catholic Church in Singapore to stop having confessionals due to SARS outbreak." Now, first of all, that's an amazing thought right there. You know, sorry, folks, no forgiveness. We're having a disease right now. There's just no forgiveness, all right? And I understood the context of that. If you've ever been a Catholic, as many of you have been, or if you've ever visited a Catholic church, as I have, and walked inside a confessional, as I have, not to confess sins, just to see what it looks like, you know that they get about this far away from the priest's face, and then they sit there and say, I told a lie, and I stole, and I did. And they never confess at all, by the way, but that's another subject. But this is what the paper said. Roman Catholic Church in Singapore to stop having confessionals due to SARS outbreak. Here's what it said. General forgiveness to be offered to the parishioners by the priests. See, in other words, we're not going to let you into the booth because of SARS, but come to church. We'll just kind of give a, you know, cover everybody type of a thing. All right. General forgiveness to be offered by the priests. And I read that and I just had to stop and say, you know what? I am so glad that I know what the Bible says. My forgiveness doesn't come from a priest. My forgiveness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Colossians 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Listen, friend, the Pharisee could not forgive that woman, and the Pharisee would not forgive that woman, but Jesus could, and Jesus did, and Jesus will, even this morning. If you would repent of your sin, and if you would turn to Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ would say to you, forgiven. Forgiven. And so there you have it. Another woman saved. And that's how it happens. One person at a time. Realizing who we are, realizing who he is, and then turning to Christ and saying, Lord, I cannot save myself. I humbly ask you to forgive me. And Jesus says, you are forgiven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege we've had to study your wonderful grace this morning. I pray this morning that if there be one in this room that has never experienced that grace, that today they would open their hearts humbly. That today they would turn to Jesus Christ only and be saved.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're currently in a series entitled Consider Christ. Friend, we would invite you to consider, is Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior? If you have heard today's message and you would like to make Jesus Christ your personal Savior, to place your faith in Him, I hope you will bow your head and heart wherever you may be in the privacy of this moment and place your faith in Jesus Christ. Invite him into your life to save you from your sin. Trust him as your Savior and claim his gift of eternal life. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We would love to hear from you if you have made that decision as a result of Daily in the Word. We'd love to get back in touch with you and help you grow in God's grace and in that relationship. You can contact us when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to the current radio series as well as the podcast. You can perhaps refer a friend or subscribe to Daily in the Word through your phone or device and take it with you. Also, you'll find links to many other resources that will help you with your spiritual growth, including a Daily in the Word subscription email that will come to your email inbox every single day with an encouragement from Pastor Chapel as well as a daily scripture reading. You'll also find links to Dr. Chapel's blog at paulchapel.com. And don't forget, we're going to Alaska and you're invited. The Alaska Cruise with Dr. Paul Chapel is August 9th through 16th, 2014. 1 week of the most beautiful environment you've ever spent time in, along with some of the most wonderful people you could meet, Christian friends from all over the country, joining us August 9th through 16th with Dr. Chapel, some great teaching and preaching throughout the week, and Christian Fellowship 2014, August 9th through 16th. You can find out more information at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.